The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Well, we have a world champion welder in studio with us this morning. Do you like being called that, Leah?
I do know, yeah.
That is Leah Murphy. She's from Newbourne in County Wexford, and she was crowned the World Skills Ireland Welding Champion for 2024, and she's going to represent Ireland at the Worlds next year.
Hopefully, anyway, yeah.
Leah is an apprentice fabricator at, that's what she's doing, an apprenticeship in fabrication at Wexford Waterford Education and Training Board, and she's currently placed with Keltec in Waterford, and she's here to tell us about her win and her route to the world of welding. You're very welcome.
Ah, thank you.
More than 170 finalists went head to head. Six other competitors from Wexford, from the Model County as well. Did you know all them? Is it a small world?
Oh no, they're all over Ireland. So there's from Donegal and all that.
But the Wexford ones, did you know those lads?
Not really, no.
Okay, so it's not a world where everyone knows each other.
I bumped into a few familiar faces now. But
you were the only female in that photo of the other other six Wexford competitors.
You know, there was another female there as well.
Okay.
Mary, so okay. She was also there, yeah.
But there's very few of you in that world.
Very few, yeah.
Okay, so. And how did you choose welding as a route for your career?
I kind of picked it up during the Leaving Cert. It was kind of a topic on the engineering subject. And it was kind of interested me. So there was a 3-week course down in Keltec where I am currently. And picked that up and just see if I actually liked it or not. Mm-hmm. And ended up liking it and got an apprenticeship then a few months later after joining them. So
explain welding. How would you explain what welding is?
Gluing metal together. I don't know how to really explain it now. It's just working with hot metal.
Working with hot metal. And that is what fabrication is as well then?
Fabrication is kind of, you're given a sheet of metal and you cut it out and build something with that, I suppose.
So which do you do? Both of those things?
A bit of both, yeah. A bit of welding and fabrication side as well.
And what is it about it that you like?
I don't know. I just like it.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. When you make something, you kind of feel like I built that kind of a
feeling.
Yeah.
And what sort of things are you building?
A bit of everything, I suppose. Oh, mainly down in Keltec, we do like hydraulic and diesel tanks. And
okay.
Well, different kinds of things down there, so we do.
Okay. So your apprenticeship, what year are you into in your apprenticeship at this stage?
I'm in my second year now. Just finished phase two there, the start of the year.
Okay.
So still a few years left to go.
Yeah, how many years in total are there?
It's minimum 4, but depending on the waiting list and all that to go into college, could be just a bit over 4 years. So.
And was it straight after the Leaving Cert that you went into this apprenticeship?
No, I got a small job in a kitchen and done that for a few months and then seen the advertisement come up, then I said I'd give it a shot anyway. So,
and was kind of third level or was that ever an option for you? Was it something you would have been interested in?
Yeah, I got accepted for some mechanics course in college.
So always that kind of sort of job you were going
for?
Yeah,
some working with my hands.
Yeah.
But I was kind of looking more into the college side and I don't know, I'm not big with the theory. I'm kind of like more the practical side, and I was looking into the apprenticeships then. I seemed I'd be more suited for myself then.
Yeah.
So
and did has it turned out the way you thought it would turn out? It is quite practical.
Yeah, it's going grand so far anyway. So, but yeah, it's grand enough.
Okay, so tell us about the Worlds. How did this all start for you?
I was doing my phase two down in the Waterford ETB, and okay. I was doing my 6 months period down there, and one of the instructors came up to me and asked if I wanted to partake in the prelims. And I said I'd give it a shot. I never heard of the World Skills before.
Yeah.
I said I might as well give it a shot, not knowing the outcome of it now. But yeah, I got through to the prelims then for the top six. And yeah, and then Dublin came and now I'm here.
What did you have to do for the competition?
A bit of everything now, which is. So there was 3 well tests at the very start.
Okay.
And they would have been x-rayed for see how the well looks on the inside, I suppose.
Okay. So what did you have to weld?
So there was 2 beveled plates.
Okay.
And
this is like a different language.
Yeah,
it'll
be a different language for a lot of people now. There's 2 beveled plates anyway. They were done. And then there was a beveled pipe.
Okay.
So we got them out of the way. And then we went on to, it was a 10 millimeter mild steel vessel.
Okay.
And there would have been all types of welding on that. So there would have been the TIG, MIG, there's flux coil, and just was their own stick, so arc welding.
Okay.
And that would have been pressure tested to spot any leaks or anything like that. It would be visually inspected as well.
And was it kind of like elimination Everyone was, someone was let go every time, or did it just continue?
No. So it was scored over points.
Okay.
So it was kind of, everyone was in it till the very end, like, so.
And did you know that you were on a good thing, like, when you were getting all your points in?
No, see, it was all, nobody knew anything till the actual night, so. No, I know, I wasn't expecting to win it with it altogether now, so.
Are you delighted?
I was happy, so I was.
Like, it's a great thing for your CV, you know?
Yeah, it
and
is.
A great thing to be able to say when you're getting into the working world
that you're
the world champion.
I know, it was a good surprise now, so on the night, so it was, so, yeah.
And are people surprised? I mean, they shouldn't be these days, but there are still very few female apprenticeships in the world and in Ireland. Are people surprised that's your job, or?
Some people do be surprised, but whenever I tell them their job, they're like, oh, no, really? And I was like, yeah. But no, shocks some people anyway.
And do your friends have you doing loads of little jobs for them?
Not yet.
You need to get your qualifications.
Yeah, once I'm qualified.
And have you got a dream job that you'd like to do?
Love to go out somewhere like Canada or Australia or something.
Yeah.
I know, I'd love to go out and travel and work.
And you could?
Yeah. Hopefully will be now in the future.
That would be great, wouldn't it? To be able to use your skills to go and travel abroad and all of that.
Yeah, that's the end goal anyways, to get out for a bit.
And where do mainly people who are welders, do they usually kind of work for themselves, or what kind of companies do they work for?
Some people work for themselves, depending on, like, I don't know really. There's a lot of people that do work for themselves, and there's loads of factories all over Ireland that do fabrication and welding and all.
So lots of work. I heard they're kind of crying out for people who work in fabrication, that it's something that's quite needed.
Yeah, they are crying out for welders now.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so that's a good one always to have those skills. So tell me where you're hoping to be next year to represent Ireland as a world champion.
Hopefully in Denmark next year. So.
Nice.
Somewhere in Denmark, I don't know where it is.
So at the moment you are World Skills Ireland Welding Champion for 2024, so no one can take that away from you. And hopefully you'll get to travel the world with that, which would be amazing. Thanks a million for coming in to me. I hope you enjoyed that welding podcast with Orla and Leah, where Orla basically knew what none of the words meant. I'm still trying to work out what a beveled plate is. What would you use a beveled plate for, Leah?
Stronger, I don't know.
Does it go on? Does it go on something?
It goes on loads of things. I don't know. not that educated yet. No.
Listen, Leah, well done. That's some feat. And best of luck in the rest of your apprenticeship. It's 4 years, did you say?
Minimum 4 years.
Minimum of four. So what can you do to just keep going on and getting more and more skilled?
So there'll be the phase four now. It'll be going back into college.
Okay.
So I still have 4, 5 and 6 left to go. Wow. So
you're in Caltech until when?
Don't know.
Okay. So you just go back to college and finish
it. Yeah, whenever I get called from college, I'll be going off then. So.
And you're enjoying Caltech, are you?
So far, yes.
Great. Good stuff. Well, listen, congratulations. The best welder in Ireland, it would seem, according to World Skills. And thank you so much for coming. And from County Wexford, obviously, as well. Leah, thanks a million for coming in this morning.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
Beat 102 and 103 on a Sunday morning. That means you are listening to the Sunday Grill. And a Waterford woman is championing your boobs and their fit out. Sandra Power is the owner of the Lady Slip in Tremor in County Waterford. And she's come up with a fail-proof way to ensure your best friends have the best fit possible. They are the 6 S's. And Sandra joins me this morning to tell us more. You're very welcome, Sandra.
Good morning, Orla. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem at all. You've come up with some great ideas for getting a really good fit for your bra fitting. You're the owner of the Lady Slip. Is that the main problem that you're finding when women come in to get fitted with you, that they haven't been wearing the right bra?
100%, Orla. The main problem we see is that generally people are wearing too big on the back and too small on the cup. But I honestly believe the biggest problem, I always say, it's not about the size, it's about the fit. So we need to kind of unlearn everything we thought we knew about bra sizing, because we have this conception, this preconception that like a double D is just giant boobs, and it's kind of the biggest size that you get. Whereas if you were to actually look at a double D cup, if you are looking at a proper bra brand, and I mean a brand who makes bras, yes. not makes everything, uh-huh. and bras are part of it. Okay. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So like actual bra companies whose life is all about making the perfect bra, you will see that one, a double D is actually on the lower end of the scale with a lot of these bra brands. A lot of them will actually only start even at a D cup. And two, the cup actually directly correlates to the band size. So like a double D in a 30 back is not the same size cup as a double D in a 38 back.
Okay.
They all move, you know, they're not there, you know, as a band size gets bigger, the volume of the cup also gets bigger.
Okay.
So that's all correlation, you know.
And sorry, that gets a bit confusing then when you say the volume of the cup, because that feels like a bigger boob then. But it really is. Isn't there a formula for that? That it's the bandwidth minus something or?
Yeah, the most basic bra fit formula, which like we don't use measuring tapes in the shop because we will fit. Each bra is different.
Okay.
Each person is different. So what suits one person is not necessarily going to suit the next, even if they are the same size. And equally, what will suit you in, we'll just say for argument's sake, you're a 32F. Not every 32F is going to work for you. Do you know what I mean? And sometimes with different materials, different shapes, you will need to, you'll need to try different styles and different shapes.
Okay. It's a minefield.
Oh, the basic measurement I was saying is that if you do a really snug measurement around the underside of the boob, so you're not getting any breast tissue in it. So a straight line around basically kind of on your rib cage nearly. So where your natural line of your boob is. So underneath this, you would do a really snug fitting. In inches. So we'll say you get 32 around there. That is 32. That's your band size.
Okay.
The older way of getting that measurement was that you added 4 to that. Now, that was before bras had the elasticity that they have now. So you do not need to add any numbers to that. And then you'd measure the fullest part of your breasts. And we'll just say for argument's sake, you get 38 around there.
Mm.
You take the 30 away from the 38 and you're left with 8 inches.
Okay.
So every inch is a cup size. So
A, B, C, D, E, F.
Okay. But sorry, but you forgot double D.
Oh, yes.
And then there's no double E. So we really do like to keep it really confusing. But it is, and you can check it out. And I mean, I've put that measurement, like I say, it's a very basic measurement, but it is a good jumping off point. Because if you are measuring at, we'll say, 34, and you're wearing a 38 or a 40 band, you know you're way off.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? And it's definitely time to go and have a proper look at it.
And you have come up with the 6 S's and we'll go through them. But one of them is straight, because you're saying the band is kind of the most important part of the bra, is it?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yep. So the bra fit formula, it's the 6S BFF. So what it is are the 6 main signs that you need to look for to see whether your bra is fitting you properly.
Okay, let's do them and I'll have a look while you're talking.
Perfect.
Okay.
Okay, so will we start from 1 and go to 6?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So number 1 is your swoop and scoop.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like I said, we would see a lot of people who were wearing too big on the back and too small on the cup.
Okay.
And what you're kind of doing is pushing your breast tissue out under your arms and out into your back.
Mm-hmm.
When you get the right size, what you want to do is lean forward and get all of that breast tissue into the cup.
Okay.
You're going to put right hand to left breast and go right back behind the wire of your bra.
Yeah.
And pull all that breast tissue forward.
Okay.
So a lot of the time what we think is, and I hate this phrase and I hate to use it, but I hear it so often, is back fat.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, well, one, it's flesh and we all have it. And if we don't, we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, regardless of your size, whether you, regardless of what size you are, everybody has it. But anyway, back to the swoop, you're going to pull everything forward to the front of the wire. And you're going to do that on both sides. So when you do this, that should make sure that there's nothing caught. There's no breast tissue caught in your wires or out to the back of the band.
Yeah, I think I've got that.
And you would be surprised. We could see somebody put on a bra. We think it looks perfect. Then they swoop everything forward and they might need to go up even two cup sizes because so much of the breast tissue was sitting out into the band.
Okay. And another part of that is your next one, which is smooth. I'll just quickly go through some of these. And that's there should be no gaps or puckering or that spillage or that double boob. You sometimes see, I'm guilty of it myself, a T-shirt on and there's a quite noticeable difference at the top of the bra, which is double boob. So you need to make sure that that's smooth and that it sits.
Smooth.
Now, this is an interesting one. The central gore should sit flat against the backbone. And I've often thought, or the breastbone even, I've often thought that that's an uncomfortable feeling, but actually after a while you feel quite secure because it's so flat against your breastbone. Then the band, as we said earlier, should be level front and back and not rise up your back. Another thing we can be so guilty of. And then the next one is snug, that the band should fit firmly around the body and not move around. And as you said, the bands are quite elasticated now, so there is a real risk of that happening, is there?
100%. So if I pull your bra, your band out from your body, it shouldn't come out any more than an inch and a half. It should feel secure. It should feel snug. I always say new jeans, new shoes, kind of tight. Do you know that kind of feeling?
Yeah.
Because what you don't want is to be pulling at your bra all day long. And a lot of times people would say, oh, but my bra is so comfortable because it's four sizes too big or whatever. But then realize that they're spending their day tucking the girls back up or in or pulling their straps or dragging the bra back down from their neck. So it's all relative what comfort actually is. Do you know what I mean? Because when you get the size right and it's snug, the girls are sitting up where they're meant to be. And that support then is coming from the band and not digging into, point six, your straps.
Yes. And that's another one, the real feeling of that kind of digging in. And I think sometimes people feel the kind of tighter the straps, the more lift you're getting, but you're so uncomfortable in the shoulders then.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you see, if you're feeling the need to keep on tightening those straps, then you're not getting that support from your bra.
Okay, some good points there. And they are the six S's. They are swoop and scoop, smooth, sits, straight, snug and straps. And you can get, you've made a lovely little poster on it there on the Instagram for the Ladies Slip. If you just search for the Ladies Slip Lingerie in Tremor, you'll find out more details on that on your bra fit formula. Do you see a marked difference in people, Sandra, when they come in and they put on a bra that fits them?
Oh my God, 100%.
Like, what does it do for people? Are they kind of standing up taller? Is their shape different?
Yes. Posture, shape, confidence, comfort, everything. It's very hard to define. Like, I have genuinely had so many ladies that have just burst out crying in the changing rooms.
Wow.
Everything fits different. When you get your bra right, we always say you can't build a house on bad foundation.
Mm-hmm.
When you get the bra right and you put on your clothes over it, like we're all guilty of it, say going shopping and you say, oh, well, now if I have the right bra, you, all of your bras should be the right bra. The one you put on you every day, it doesn't, you know, they should all be doing the same job for you and bringing you up and giving you that confidence and that posture. And that when you put your clothes on, they're sitting really well over your bra.
Right.
Your bra will only last about 6 months.
Oh, okay. That's
so
another thing we need to talk about.
Every day, you do need to, like, obviously you need to hand wash it. And you need to, you know, wear it, but it will start to lose its elasticity and its support.
Okay.
So it, and breasts change, obviously, hormones, weight fluctuation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a good idea to, you know, even go through the six steps, the six SBFF and just see, but keep an eye on your bra for signs of wear and tear.
Okay.
You know,
advice.
Do you need to replace?
Great stuff. Great advice. You'll find lots more of that advice at the Lady Slip Instagram. They're the Lady Slip Lingerie. That is Sandra Power. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you so much, Orla.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
Just some lovely news as we head into hour two on the Sunday Grill. The Shine Festival 2024 finished up during the week, and we've been a media partner here at Beat with the Shona Project for this annual event since the very start of it in 2018. We're just so proud to be associated with this empowering festival from the Shona Project that is called Shine, when over 2,500 TY females from all over Ireland descended on the SETU arena over 2 days, and they've just come away feeling so inspired and just absolutely buzzing. But one of the highlights of this event and the event and every year is when the Shona Project shines a spotlight on one young girl who they think made a powerful, positive impact on those around her in the last 12 months. And this year, that young girl was someone whose story you heard on the Sunday Grill during the summertime. Ava Walsh took part in My Beat Diary. In fact, she was the first episode of My Beat Diary, where she described her experiences of grief after losing her dad, Stuart, suddenly, not even 2 years ago. Well, Ava has channeled her grief into something positive by trying to raise awareness among young people to let them know that support is available for them if they're experiencing grief unexpectedly at such a young age. And this is when Ava's name was called out during the Shine Festival, and she was named as this year's Shona Hero.
This girl, I've known who she is. I've been her biggest fan. So she's one of our newest ambassadors. Everybody here knows she's getting this award except her. So our 2024 Shona Hero is Ava Walsh.
Would you mind telling us why you feel it's so important to put such positive energy into the world?
Well, at one point, everyone will end up losing someone. And I lost my dad, and it was one of the hardest things I've ever and ever will have to go through. When I first had it happen to me, I didn't know anyone that had something like that happen to them, that they know they're not alone and everyone can feel like that, and it's okay to feel like that. So, yeah.
Oh, Ava, well done to you. We're so proud of you here. And I just think you're so brave. I think I said it during the summertime, to tell your story for My Beat Diary and to help other young people and who might be going through the grieving process. You can listen back, of course, to Ava on My Beat Diary if you go over to beat102103.com and search for My Beat Diary. And yes, that is the Shine Festival finished up for 2024. It will be back thanks to the Shona Project. And the Shona Project is named after founder Tammy Darcy's own sister, Shona, who died in 2023.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102103.
Five counties, one station. It is Beat 102, 103. And are you ready to talk Halloween? We are in the perfect month for it. Of course you are. And be warned, we'll talk a little bit about the C word, that is Christmas, later on in the show. But let's concentrate on Halloween and let's immerse ourselves in the eerie and enchanting world of ghostly Halloween music. That's thanks to Libra String Quartet, and they're going to weave a spell with sinister strings at the White Memorial Theatre in Clonmel on Friday, October 25th, just in time to get you ready for the countdown to the big night itself that is Halloween. Eamon O'Malley is the host and he joins me this morning with more details about that night. You're very welcome, Eamon.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Orla. It's great to be able to talk about this really unique and really different musical event that's centered around Halloween and
yes,
kind of spooky music.
Because we don't often talk about the music that comes from orchestras and classical music here on the Sunday Grill on Beat, but I think it's perfectly suited for this spooky season.
Well, it is, yeah, absolutely, because a lot of that music is very dramatic and can be quite atmospheric in its own. That it really lends itself then to, you know, horror films and all those kind of memories that we have associated around Halloween.
Now, this is called a chilling candlelight concert, transforming the theatre in Clonmel into a realm of shadows and sound. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so as we said there, it's a candlelight concert. We host this as under the company that does it, Clon Melody. That's the little production company we have that hosts these events. And we had done one last year in another venue in Clonmel where we had a candlelight string quartet where we asked the Libra String Quartet to come along. They did movies and musicals that time. And then we had an idea around to tie it in with Halloween to use the theatre in Clonmel, which has a great atmosphere and has a fantastic setting, and to do the candlelight thing and to bring in the music of kind of like Halloween films and horror movies to really just amp up the atmosphere.
What kind of Halloween films and horror movies are we talking about? And I'm sure when you say it, people will be able to recognise some of the music you're talking about.
Sure, yeah. I think one particular one that everybody, I think, should know, it's a great film theme tune, is Psycho. Yeah, everybody remembers those strings in the shower scene.
Yeah.
So we're doing music from Psycho, which I will definitely trigger a number of people in the audience.
I can see the shower curtain being pulled back as you're saying it.
Yeah, but you can't think of that image without thinking of the music.
Yeah, totally. So
it's one of those ones where the music, a lot of the great horror films, you can't think of them without thinking of the music. Another one that on the night that we're doing is Halloween, the theme tune from Halloween, which is another famous piece of music. The moment you hear it, it instantly transports you to that film. Along with then some classical favorites, there's the Chopin Funeral March that lots of people would know, and some other heavy hitters from the world of classical. Along with the quartet, we'll also be doing kind of arrangements of some pop songs that are associated with Halloween, the likes of Thriller or Ghostbusters.
Oh,
so we'll do arrangements of that too. So it's a real broad program that will appeal to all kinds of music lovers.
Yeah, and it's lovely to hear that as well, because I think people have a real stereotypical view of what classical music is, don't they? It's for.
And who it's for. And that's the thing. And really, it's for everybody. It really is. All that music, nowadays we kind of tend to think of it as a certain type of music listened to by a certain type of person in a certain setting. And it isn't that. It's for everyone. And in true concerts like this, we hope to kind of like bring it to that wider audience. And with the little bit of the candlelight and the setting and the atmosphere, that helps to break down the barriers between people and that type of music.
Yeah, exactly. And also the fact that, as you said, you're doing pop songs and songs from the films, as well as some classical concert music too. You're exactly, also going to be sharing some spine-tingling tales, I hear.
Well, yeah.
spine-tingling tales that have happened to you?
No, I don't think anybody would pay money to hear that. Except maybe my therapist. No, I'm only kidding. No, I think with that, what I'll be doing is just introducing some of the music, kind of giving a little bit of context, a little bit of background, what inspired those pieces, what inspired the composers to write them, or in terms of the films that they come from, a little bit, maybe the story or what the music is trying to bring across and put forward in the music.
Lovely stuff.
I think that's just basically what my role will be.
And it's very close to the big day of Halloween. Are you going to be dressing up in costume yourself?
I don't think so.
You could. You could do a good Count Dracula or something
maybe
like that.
Maybe Count Dracula. Yeah. We'll see. We might try it at the dress rehearsal.
Yeah. See how it goes down. Even if you just had fangs for part of it,
Might make it a little bit hard to do the talking.
You might make it a little hard to do the talking. That is true. Tell us about the Libra String Quartet. Are they based in Clonmel?
So, no, they're based really from the southeast around Waterford, Libra String Quartet. A number of great, very experienced musicians amongst their ranks. And they're done, as I said, last year, they did a fantastic concert with us on movies and musicals. They played in a number of productions and shows that I've been involved in, and I can really testify to the real superior musicianship that they all exhibit.
Great stuff. Well, it's a great pre-Halloween event on October 25th, and that is in the Memorial...
White Memorial Theatre, and tickets are available from Eventbrite, starting from €21.50.
Okay, good stuff. So Eventbrite, if you just put what into the search engine for that?
Just put in Sinister Strings or Clan Melody, Sinister Strings, you'll find us there.
Okay,
and you'll
stuff.
Also find us on our socials as well. If you just look for Clan Melody on Facebook or Instagram, you'll find all about us there.
Okay, and what did you say Clan Melody was as well? So that's the part of the group that organises all this.
The group that organises it. Yeah, I suppose it's from, the idea is to put on these kind of one of a kind musical events in Clonmel, hence Clan Melody, or in the surrounding areas. So we're kind of based there in South Tipperary, and we've got a couple of other events that we put on throughout the year, such as we have our original music creator events and choral events. And we've done a few things now. It's our second year of being in operation. And it's great to be able to build on things and start to, as I said, do these kind of more one-of-a-kind.
Yeah, and something
events.
A bit different. Lovely. And has there been good reactions since you started?
Yeah, there's been great reactions. Well, we started on a real big high. We got a choir, who are these international impromptu choral workshop leaders. Don't know if anybody's ever seen them. They've been in Ireland a few times, but we got them to come to Clonmel last year, and we had an audience of around 350 people in one of the big old churches here, all singing 80 songs on the night, and people just came along, and they taught them, you know, how to sing things like Don't Stop Believing and great classic hits of the 80s, and we had a fantastic time with that. So we've done a few things like that by bringing people into kind of South Tipperary, where we don't really have too many venues. So we try to create these kind of events for music lovers that will, you know, hopefully get people out and get them to, you know, just be part of that musical community.
Yeah, excellent. Good stuff. That sounds great. All coming from Clon Melody. And the latest one is Sinister Springs, and that is at the Memorial Theatre in Clonmel, White Memorial Theatre, even in Clonmel, on Friday, October the 25th. You can get tickets for that at Eventbrite if you just search for Sinister Springs, Sinister Strings even. And as you said, Eamon, if you search for Clon Melody on Instagram and other social media, you'll find more details there.
That's it, Orla. Yeah, that's perfect.
Brilliant, Eamon. Best of luck with it. I'm looking forward to seeing pictures of you dressed as Dracula.
Yeah, no problem. Okay.
Thanks a million.
Let's get my cape. Thanks a million, Orla. Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
It is the Sunday Grill. It is Beat 102-103. Well, it's movie time, and it's not exactly getting the same fanfare as the first Joker movie. Joker Folie à Deux has been described as unfulfilled potential and a kooky approach that won't suit all fans. But we know that our definitive critique comes from Brian Griffin, who's talking to us from his sickbed this morning. The professional and ever the loyal contributor.
I just know what you were going to say.
There was so much I could say, but I won't. What are you okay, by the way?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm just, I don't know, maybe there's a flu going around. I'm just really tired. Okay. It's just so annoying because every time I try and do something, I just have to sit down again.
Oh, Brian, welcome to my world.
It's so frustrating. Like, it's a thing of, I think I'm fine, and then I get out of bed.
And you're not fine.
And then I have to go back to bed again.
Well, you stay in bed now. There's lots of things that you can binge on television for the day. And we'll see you back bright and early next week, okay?
Okay. I watched
Goodbye.
The whole Vince McMahon document. Okay, so yeah, chat to you. Bye, Orla. Thanks for chatting. Yeah.
What did you watch?
I watched the whole Vince McMahon thing on Netflix the other night in one go. It was like a documentary, a breakdown behind the scenes of the
WWE. Oh, yes. Killian, actually, from Beat Breakfast, was here doing TV tips a few weeks ago, and he was very excited by that. So is that quite good?
Yeah, well, I always enjoy those behind-the-scenes type things. So.
And what's it called if I go searching for it? Wrestling, Netflix.
Vincent McMahon, it should come up.
Vincent McMahon. Anyway, let's talk Joaquin. And Joaquin Phoenix has reprised his role as Arthur Fleck / Joker, while Lady Gaga is on board as Harley Quinn. Will you give us your thoughts on it after we've had a little listen to Joker? Folie à Deux. Let's do it.
Do you think I'm damaged, Dr. Quinzel?
Maybe. But it's not something we can't fix. We've made good progress in the last few years, Arthur.
How's everything out there?
It's in chaos. People are tearing apart themselves. They need someone. They need you. Just like I do.
Very dark, very sinister. Lots of eerie music in there. It has been described as a jukebox musical. Explain that one to me, Bryony.
Okay, do you know what? You don't understand the term jukebox musical?
Not particularly, to tell you the truth.
Okay, so when it comes to like musicals, there's like a normal musical, you have like your West Side Stories, you have your Sound of Music, where it's like the songs are made especially for it. A jukebox musical is basically they use songs that are already existing and put them into
I had never heard of that term, but I know exactly what you're talking about. So it's like Moulin Rouge.
Yes, like Pitch Perfect or something as well, a jukebox musical where something like La La Land. Well, it's La La Land as a mix, I suppose, really.
Yeah, they have a lot of original songs in that. Yeah. Yeah.
But so it's a. Yeah, that's jukebox musical.
Okay, so what sort of songs are we hearing? I hope both Joaquin and Lady Gaga singing.
Well, it is a bit of a mix. There are some original. Well, to me, it's original. I've never heard them before. But okay. We have some Frank Sinatra. We have, like, it's a weird mix because they're not sung like a musical. They're very much sang as someone just kind of singing, if that makes any sense at all. Like, it's not, while it is a musical.
Okay.
It's not. It doesn't have much of the musical qualities. It's just like a film that happens to feature musical elements. Okay. More so.
So, like, for example, we've seen lots of the scenes of Harley Quinn walking out of the courthouse and walking down. Could she just burst out in song there, for example?
Yeah, it's kind of like this delirious break in the film where there's a song rather than it carrying on the plot when they're singing.
What a weird way for Joker to go after the dark, eerie, like, intelligence of the last film.
Yeah, you see, it's a weird thing because I remember seeing the first one and I thought, it's a good movie. Do you know what? It's something different, it's something interesting. Mm. But people were like, this is it.
I really enjoyed the first one.
The Joker. Yeah, I thought it was okay. Mm, I was never, because I was always like,
you did.
I don't really like him.
Okay, you don't like Joaquin as an actor.
No, I don't like the Joker character. I think Joaquin Phoenix is actually a great actor.
Okay, good, because that would be bizarre to say. Yeah, he is. Yeah,
I think this is this weird dude, and I feel like he was great as it. I think it was such an interesting way to look at things, but it was very dark and very depressing. Mm. And I was like any other. Jokers are like this agent of chaos and it's just causing anarchy for the sake of anarchy and stuff. It's like, it's very interesting.
Uh-huh.
Whereas his Joker is very much like coming from a place of sadness and frustration.
Totally. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that kind of deep dive into his life and what had happened to him to get him where he was. But is it a kind of a step to the side, weirdly, to then have the second one as a jukebox musical, and is it directed by the same person who directed the first one, for example?
Yeah, so, well, it's directed by Todd Phillips. Okay. And, like, while Todd Phillips isn't really the most recognisable name of all time, he's the guy that did The Hangovers.
Ah,
and,
very good. Okay.
So it's like, and he's done lots of things. Like, the first thing, like, his earliest thing that I've ever seen from him is, like, this documentary that he went undercover in a fraternity and was showing off, like, what it's like and all these hazing things and stuff. So his theme of his music has always been, like, toxic masculinity, really, essentially. Like, I know Hangover is hilarious, and I forever and always will love it. But it is. It's about how dumb men are, really, isn't it?
Okay.
But it's funny. But this one comes from more of, like, it's kind of more of a commentary on the people that enjoyed the first one so much.
Okay.
More than the actual character of himself.
Okay.
Because it's a lot about, like, is he or is he not the Joker? Like, and I feel like some stages it's like, is Joaquin seen as, is he the Joker? Is this what the argument is?
Okay.
And then, yeah, it's a very controversial, divisive, and unwatched film, apparently, according to
comments. Yes, it's not doing as well. Tell me about Lady Gaga in this.
Lady Gaga is an interesting character because she... It's a bad romance, really, like, you know, yeah, thank you, I'm actually quite proud of that one. But, like, she always has this poker face.
Stop now, stop.
She's in the asylum and he sees her in the singing class and they kind of meet from there. And you think, oh, this is going to be the beginning of, like, Harley Quinn and Joker. Like, these are the people that are going to just bring anarchy to the place. And there's a lot of time where her, because she lies relentlessly, mm-hmm. and it's not just like me saying it, like, she literally does lie relentlessly.
Okay.
And you never know what way she's going to be and whose side is she even really on and what's her meaning behind this. And it kind of comes across as this weird failed love interest. You don't know if like Lee Quinzel is using Arthur Fleck because he's kind of this famous person, or does she just kind of want to be in on the anarchy? Does she want to just be causing the controversy? She's very much like against his lawyer and trying to get the lawyer to change her views and stuff. I don't know. And it's an insight into like mental illness, really, more than anything. And people that just, but it's, I think at the same time, people resonate with the Joker so much because they see this anarchy. They see this, like, this is the way the world is and they don't like it. And this person stands up to it and stuff. But I think at the same time, this movie is a lot about he's just a guy who's like mentally ill. He shouldn't be your hero, kind of a thing, do you know?
Okay, good stuff.
I suppose so, he was born this way.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. But I actually kind of thought, now this is where...
Now, you didn't get my pun there from my Lady Gaga album.
You were born this way?
Yeah.
No, it's not funny if I don't make it, Orla.
Let's just black pudding that now, please, Brian. For Joker, Folie à Deux, how many black puddings would you give that out of 10?
See, this is where it turns funny, right? I kind of enjoyed this one more than I enjoyed the first one.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
Because the first one, I didn't, like, there was some iconic bits in it, but this one I thought, it's just, it definitely delved more into someone just being, like, mentally ill.
Okay.
You know, and it's like, it was like, you were kind of lost as a viewer in the same way that you kind of feel he is. Like she's kind of just trying to destroy him, but he loves her. Like, so he has this thing where he wants to impress her, but he's so torn. Like, what is she doing to him? And
you like the movie more than the first one? Let's black pudding it.
Like a 6.5, 7, I'd say.
Okay. So not great.
Now this, it's okay. I thought it was okay. But I can understand how people didn't like it.
Anyway, I better let you go because you're so shallow. Thank you so much. Hey!
I just wanted to let you know she spent ages looking at up songs. She could know that one.
Goodbye.
Bye.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.